too. So thank you so, so much. I'll just do a brief, short testimony. God called me into missions while I was a freshman in college, and I went to the missions trip to Bolivia, South America, thinking that's where God was going to eventually call me. And so when I got back, I got accepted with World Gospel Mission in 2002 as a career missionary headed to Bolivia. But God had other plans. I didn't get my funding raised right away, and so the mission asked me in 2004 if I would consider going to Stockton, California to do inner city youth and ministries with the children and youth there and at the center. And I said, let me pray about it and I'll see. And within about a month, I felt like God was calling me there, and I packed up my things in February of 2005 and moved to Stockton. I did work there for about 7 years or so, and then God called me away from there to McAllen, Texas in 2012. So I have been ministering in McAllen, Texas since July of 2013, and I've seen changes over the years, but God is doing mighty things. First, I started out as a teacher there at the Taylor Christian School, and then God kind of spoke to me about changing that a little bit. And so I started working in the office in the school and doing administrative work. And eventually I was the director, interim director for 1 year at the elementary school there, elementary high school there that we had. And that ran for about, that school was running for about 74 years. And in 2020, when COVID hit, we ended up having to shut down the school for the next school year because there just wasn't enough students committed to coming. Parents were shy and they didn't want to send their kids to school. So we did help some of the local kids that needed internet and a place to be for the day. And so we offered online classes at the school. And then after that year, we decided it was time to open the school up again. So we had about 6 students that showed up that year to attend. And we prayed and prayed and fasted, and God showed us after that year that it was time to close the school in 2022. But that didn't mean ministry was closing. It just meant the school was closing. I still minister to some of the students that had attended the school in an online Bible, Bible club is what I call it. I do a discipleship program once a month with the students. I have about 7 students or children that come to that faithfully. And so that's one of my ministries that I was able to continue after the school closed. Another ministry that I've been doing for a long time is having Bible club during Sparrow's Nest. Sparrow's Nest is our clothing closet. And so I minister to children there. I also minister to children in Sunday school and children's church at our local church there. And then I also do other ministries with children as the Lord opens up doors. So if you'll turn to your Bibles, we'll go to 1 John 4:7. You can go to the next slide. 1 John 4:7. I wanted to read this scripture real quick. Trying to make sure I watch the time. I don't want to take Paul's time up. So it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." I went ahead and read verse 8. But this scripture just really touched me. We were teaching the kids this scripture to share at the nursing home in McAllen there. And it just really touched me because how can we love, truly love each other and love as God asks us to unless we love God and know God? And so I think as I think about that, am I truly loving people the way I need to? The only way I can know that is through knowing God more and more and loving Him more and more. Then I will truly understand how to love each other as He has asked us to love each other. So I challenge you today. Are you loving the way God wants you to? Do you truly love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? And as you do that, then God will open up ways for you to love your neighbor, to love other people the way He wants you to love them. So I guess that's my challenge for today. As far as that is concerned, let's go to the next slide. You'll see the Bible club that I work with. I do evangelism and discipleship with the children, and I've seen several children come to know the Lord through this. In fact, a month before I left the field, I had a little girl that came. She was 10 years old, and she'd been there a few times, but not a lot. And so I asked her if she would like a devotional book to take home. Well, she took home a devotional book. And the next week she showed up, and I said, well, have you read any of the devotional book? And she said, yes, I've been reading it. I've been reading 3 devotionals a day. And I was like, wow, amazing. And so I started talking to her a little bit more and asking her about what it meant to ask Jesus in her heart and to ask Him to forgive her for her sins. And then I asked her if she had ever done that and if she would like to. And she said, no, I haven't done that, but I would like to. And I ended up praying with her to accept Jesus in her heart. She was 10 years old and reading her devotions, three pages a day. So I'm just so thankful for the children that God keeps giving me that are hungry for the Lord and hungry to know about God. If you go to the next slide, I also do ministry with this lady here. She wanted to come to our Bible study that Cynthia Zimmerman, one of our missionaries, was holding. And so I asked her, I said, or Cynthia kind of came to me, but even before she came to me, I felt the Lord telling me, I want you, instead of going to the Bible study, I want you to watch her children for her so that she can attend the Bible study. She's a brand new Christian, hungry in the Lord, just wanted to learn more about God. And since that time of watching her children for a few months, God has built a relationship with this lady. And I've been able to go over to her home. She even invited me, her husband invited me to come to a barbecue at their house. And his family was there, so I felt like one of the family. The kids, as soon as they see me, Christina, 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 and hollering and excited about seeing me. So I'm just praising God. But she comes to our sparrow's nest, and sometimes she just comes to talk to me and to fellowship with me and to I guess I'm kind of like her mentor in a way. And there's a couple other ladies that I have been able to mentor as well. And God just opened up that door. I didn't even look for that opportunity. So God will open up opportunities that we can never imagine sometimes. If you go to the next slide, I'll share a little bit more of the ministries that I'm able to do in the Mexico. Or in the center, I mean, in the center. I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. So we have special children's events that we've had over the last term while I was there. One of them was Children's Days. Betsy Tejeda and I both, I had a vision for children's ministry, and she had a vision for a women's conference. And together we put the two together, and we had this big Children's Day and women's conference at the same time. And so we've had 3 of them now since I've started that. And God is just working in the lives of the children and the women there in McAllen, bringing them together to grow closer to Him. We also had our back to school event. This year we didn't end up doing it, but last year we had a big event where they did haircuts and gave out backpacks and other things were offered. Another opportunity we had was the Christmas family night. We usually do a toy drive to let the kids know that they can get a toy for Christmas. So we offer them to go shopping, basically, for their toy in a room that we set up all the toys. We get donations from different churches, and we set up all those toys. And it's just wonderful to give that opportunity. But the problem was we wanted to make sure the kids got the Christmas story as well and heard the gospel during that time. And so we were like, how can we fix this problem? Because the kids are leaving before they get to hear, or coming late, and so they don't get to hear the story of Christmas. And so we ended up doing a Christmas family night with over 100 kids showing up, and families, all their families were there, and they heard the gospel story of the Christmas story. So I'm praising God for opportunities like that. Next slide. We also have opportunities that I was able to partner with Light of Life Outreach Ministries there in McAllen. And I went over to give out gifts to the Handicap Center there in Reynosa, Mexico. And then also in Reynosa, there's a pastor that started a church for the children in the community. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see he put up a tent and put out chairs. And all these kids just started coming to learn about God and to worship God and everything. And, of course, they give out food when they can, when they get donations of food and stuff to help the families support them. And so I was able to go over at Christmas time and do that as well, hand out gifts to the children and everything. So if you go to the next slide, just hold it there for a little bit. I'm going to share a testimony, another testimony of what God's doing there in McAllen, Texas. I was teaching Bible Club many times, and there, God was moving in this one family. They had 7 children. And at first I was able to, one of the girls gave their heart to the Lord. And then just more recently, the end of last year, the other 2 girls gave their hearts to the Lord. And they had 4 brothers that come to Bible Club with them as well. And I've been able to minister to them. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to go back to McAllen and see the 4 brothers come to know the Lord. One of the little boys was only like a year and a half old or so when I was getting ready to leave McAllen. And it was the last week I was going to be there. And he came through the door and he saw me and he put out his hand, ready to grab my hand and go walk back to Bible Club. He was so excited about going back to Bible Club with me. So I'm just thankful for the opportunities God gives me, but also you, to be a part of God's kingdom and seeing God's kingdom, the children of God come to know the Lord. And if you go to the next slide, can you imagine over 250 children have been impacted by the ministry there in McAllen, Texas in 2023? And can you imagine what impact if we had more missionaries there on the field? I know everywhere we say that we need more missionaries, we need more missionaries. But that's the impact that God is working there in McAllen, Texas, and offering us to be able to work. So thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your time, for allowing me to come and share. I'll go to the next slide. Ways you can be a part of it. You already are praying, I'm sure. And some of you could go if you want to send a work team or something there. We're always open to work teams or missionaries, people that God lay on their hearts to be missionaries. And then there's opportunities to serve missionaries, just like you guys are doing today, having a fundraiser and stuff for them. So, and then there's opportunities for giving as well. So I just want to say thank you. You can go to the next slide. Thank you for being a part of my team. Thank you for just all that you've done to support me while I've been there on the mission field. God is moving in mighty ways in McAllen, Texas, and I am grateful to be here to update you on what God is doing. And also, another ministry I didn't mention much, but I am full-time treasurer there as well. So even if the children's ministry doesn't keep me busy enough, I have plenty to do with the finances there on the field, paying all the bills and everything. So that's what God's doing. Thank you so much.
That's it. You're good. Thank you. Can I get a couple ushers real quick? Larry, how about Larry Gustin and Mac? There you go. If we could, these are Christina's information about her and how you can support her. Can you just give like one per family, one per entity? And she is going to have a table right outside. As soon as you walk out the gym doors, it's right there. You can talk to her, find out more about her ministry, pick up some flyers and things that she has for you. So I hope you'll spend time. And Christina, do you have any information on the border stuff that's going down there, how it's impacted you? You don't have to talk about it now, but as they come up to your table, I can share some things with you. So you might find that very interesting. Stop by and talk with Christina right after that. Brian.
Well, it's a pleasure to bring an old friend now, a brother, Paul Law, up and let him share about what's going on in Africa. What do you have any ideas of what you want to say? Or I know you got it all arranged. So come on, Paul, and share.
Brian knows how hard it is for me to talk, so y'all be praying for me here that I don't just shut down. You know, the real challenge that we face in our lives is learning how to see things the way God sees them. We live in a world that is constantly competing with God. People have a way of seeing things. We call it a worldview. It's kind of a big word, maybe worldview, two big words. But it's basically a question of how you see things, how you see the world. And the challenge is learning how to see it the way God sees it. There's this passage of scripture that I know we're all familiar with. And it speaks to that. I just want to read part of it because it's kind of a wrong thing. It's in Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 34th verse. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And these people, who in Jesus's parable or story, are the righteous that are being invited into the kingdom of God, they answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you that way?" And Jesus' response is that the king will say to them that whenever you did it to other people, you were doing it to me. That's the way God sees it. That's not the way the world sees it. Every one of us has a unique place in the kingdom of God. Every one of us is different. No two people are exactly alike. And God has made us that way because the uniqueness of all of us goes together to form a beautiful tapestry, a beautiful plan where God, through us, touches the lives and makes a difference in the lives of other people. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. How do you do that? How many of you have ever given anyone a glass of water in the name of Jesus? Raise your hand. I see three, maybe four people. You know, you don't think of serving Jesus Christ by giving a glass of water to somebody, do you? I've got a little figure for you here. We're in a well drilling ministry in the Congo. One of our wells produces 30,000 cups of water every day. 900,000 cups of water a month, and 10,800,000 cups of water every year. And that's just one well. When you multiply that by 90, which is the number of wells that we've drilled approximately, the figure goes to 972 million cups of water every year. Almost a billion cups of water given in Jesus' name. That's the way God sees it. My wife is involved in a children's ministry that reaches out to kids who come to church after school once a week in different churches and are ministered to. They hear the word of God. They're shown images on felt graphics, what used to be called, there was a name for it. Years ago, nobody uses it anymore. They learn verses to memorize. They learn songs to sing. They're given the opportunity to accept Christ as their personal Savior. The last week before they went on summer vacation, there were 1,147 children who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the verse that we hold to in this ministry is the verse that says God promises his word will not return void. But when it goes forth, it will accomplish what he has purposed for it. We have a few pictures we're going to show you real quickly here as I'm sharing, and I'm going to explain them. I'll narrate. You can just start that program. You got to look carefully because we're going to move right along here. Marty Law's ministry serving God in Africa. That's a little picture that shows you all the countries that fit into the continent of Africa. Marty has trained teachers who have helped to translate lessons from English into French and Otetela, but mostly Otetela with the children. And every week during the school year, children come to four different churches where they hear Bible stories, scripture. They are illustrated with felt graphics. They learn songs to sing. They learn verses to memorize. And then they have a playtime. And one of the things they love to do is color. They're given pictures that are related to the Bible story that's being shared that week. And they memorize, so they color the pictures and then take the pictures home. You're talking about mud huts where there's no decorations, no pictures on the wall. And if you go into one of these houses after a year, you'll find the walls practically covered with these pictures that were colored in the school or in the class that are taken back and hung up in the house and help to remind the children of the stories. And the children will often go home and explain and share the stories with their parents and also share the implications, the lesson that was learned from the story. Marty loves the kids. She loves to be with them. We had someone visit us recently, and they went with Marty to one of her classes. And the person was asked after the class, well, what did you think of it? And she says, well, I just couldn't put up with all the noise. And I asked Marty, I said, so is it that noisy? And she said, well, I don't know. I don't notice it. How does God see it? Are those 1,147 kids noisy? Or are they hearing the gospel? How could you go to an opportunity like that, and the only thing that impressed you while you were there was how much noise they made? How does God see it? It's a challenge for us. She also has a scripture memory class for high school students. And these students, after they have learned scripture and have been faithful to that program for several years, are given a little bit of assistance to help them with their state exams at the end of their sixth year of high school. And one of the fathers and mother are working in another church, not even our church. And he's a pastor, and he came to see us with his wife to tell us that his daughter, who's a senior in high school and is a member of the class, has been transformed by the lessons that she's learned in the scripture memory class, goes home and discusses scripture with her father, who is a preacher, and he tells us that he is being challenged in his own understanding of the Word of God and how to share it with other people by his 17-year-old daughter because of this class that she's been in for 4 years studying the Word of God with Marty and in her ministry. The opportunities are enormous to touch people's lives and make a difference throughout the world. And Jesus tells us very, very specifically and very clearly. And it's interesting because in this scripture we've read, it's said four different times. You wonder why so many verses were taken up in the book of Matthew on a single story. Jesus says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the righteous say, well, Lord, when did we see you in prison? When did we feed you? When did we give you a drink? Oh, it's as much as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. It was said twice. Then the unrighteous come and they say the same question. Well, Lord, when did we see you? And he says, inasmuch as you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me either. The challenge to see the world the way God sees it. I think it's a challenge that every church faces. And as Christine has expressed to you her appreciation for your support, support will only come from the hearts and the pocketbooks, as Brian was saying, of people who see what's being done the way God sees it. The people who are able to engage the ministry of WGM in Southern Texas, the ministry of the Coppages, who are currently, I guess, in Scotland and are needing a vehicle, and you're being given an opportunity to respond to that need and make it possible for them to travel and carry on their ministry. The opportunity to be partners with my wife in her ministry as soon as she heals. People ask us, when are you going to retire? And I tell them, well, I haven't found it in Scripture. As long as God gives us the strength and we recognize that that strength is not what it used to be, but it's still enough. So we ask ourselves the same question that we're encouraging you to ask yourselves. God, what are you thinking? God, what are your thoughts? God, how do you see this? Can we still make a contribution? Can we still carry on a ministry, whether it's flying an airplane to rescue sick people and move people around in places where they couldn't go otherwise with an airplane, whether it's drilling water wells and giving millions, billions of cups of water to people in Jesus' name, whether it's sowing the seed of the Word of God week after week after week into 1,000 plus children's lives with the confidence that God has promised that that word will not return void. How does God see it? And do you want to see it the way God sees it? Do you recognize that when together, each doing what they're able to do, each responding in the way that God is leading them to respond, when each one of you makes it possible for this church and this congregation that worships God week after week, has the opportunity and responds to it in obedience to reach out and touch the world, whether it's Southern Texas and Mexico, whether it's the Coppages and the influence and the work that they've done in Uganda and that they're currently doing, the work that Marty's involved in Africa. Can you see that? That's my prayer. My prayer for you is that you as a church would be able to see the significance of what you're able to do through your generosity in making it possible for people in places that you will perhaps never visit. Brian's had the opportunity to come and see where we are, Most of you will not. But you can make a difference for the kingdom of God. You can sow seed that will grow eternally. You can touch lives who will never be the same. And sometimes it can be just as simple as a cup of water. A cup of water. A billion times. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. Grateful, first of all, for what you've done in our lives. How you have touched us, drawn us to yourself. How you demonstrated your love for us and how special we were to you when you gave your Son to die for our sins. We give you thanks. And then, Lord, for your Spirit to do that work in us that enables us to see the world and the needs in it the way you do. Father, we can criticize, as some people say, we can curse the darkness all of our lives and never make any difference. Or we can light a candle. And when we do, light goes forth, lives are touched, people are transformed, and others are brought to you in faith. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunities to serve you, not just for those of us who go, that's our part, but for those who make it possible for us to go and be there. We ask you to bless this church, bless the ministry of this church in the community here in Fairmount in this area. We pray, Lord, that your children here would be drawn closer to yourself, that they would sense your presence and your blessing in their lives. We give you thanks for this opportunity to meet together and to share in these ministries around the world. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got some prayer cards at the front here. If any of you don't have them, I know we've been here before. If you already have one on your refrigerator, you don't need another one. If you would like one, just to remind you to pray for us and lift us up. And some of you have seen our book before. We have a book written by my mother, Appointment Congo. And if any of you are interested in that, that's available. The cards are free. The books are not. Thank you. Bless you all.